JC Corcoran Podcast.
There was an old farmer who lived by a rock. Sat in the meadow, was shaking his fist at some boys who were down by the creek. Feet in the water, their hands on their marbles and playthings. And in days of yore, they met a young maiden. She looked like a pretty young creature. She sat on the grass, pulled up her dresses to show us her ruffles and laces. With a white fluffy duck, said she was learning a new way to bring up her children and teach them to knit. While the boys in the barnyard were shoveling refuse and litter from yesterday's hunt. While the girl in the meadow was rubbing her eyes at the boys just like girls sometimes do, to make it quite clear that she wanted to go for a nice pleasant stroll on the grass and hurry back home for a nice piece of ice cream and cake that stood three layers tall. After dessert, she was ready to go for another walk down by the dock. But then a young man with a sizable roll of 100s and a big bulge up front, he'd ask politely, she'd show him her little pet dog that was subject to fits. He'd reach on over, grab hold of her small tender hands with the movement so quick. She'd bend on over and suck on his soda so sweetly till she finished it. Then pull down her panties to rub on her hip that she bruised as she ran down the halls. Cause he tried to force her to lick on his candy so tasty made of butterscotch. And then he spread whipped cream all over her cookies that she had been baking all night. If you think this is dirty, you're f***ing well right.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Friday, June 3rd, 2022. 158 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. Getting closer and closer to that kickoff date of our brand new radio station. A lot of people asking a lot of questions. I wish I could provide more detailed information. I can't. There's just certain things that we're going to be rolling out here. Phase one of the new radio station is coming very, very soon. And as soon as we do have that information, I promise I'll share it with everybody. You'll know you're not going to miss anything, okay? Talked to Radio Rich last night, put up a nice picture of the two of us on my Facebook page, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. You can check that out. Well, they got Lewis Reed. And I got to say, I'm like everybody else, complete and total shock. I've met the guy a couple of times, spent maybe a half an hour with him once. We were on this abysmal AM sports talk radio station. I don't know how many years ago it was. I don't even acknowledge that I actually worked there. It's not on my resume or anything like that. It was just someplace I stopped for a cup of coffee. But one of the other hosts had him in the studio, and he was getting ready to go on, and I think they were running late or something like that. So I just sat, and I talked with him. I thought the guy was the real deal. Real, real sharp guy. And also personable. You know, all the things that you want in a politician, you know, you thought. And, of course, he's got his right to due process and everything, but they've got him. They've got him. When you read this thing and find out what they did, because he and the other two aldermen who were indicted yesterday, they were making all these under-the-table deals and getting all this cash and trips and, you know, cell phones and more cash and all this. The guy was an FBI undercover guy, and all the stuff was being recorded. It was the equivalent of walking in on your 3-year-old, and he's up on the counter with his hand in the cookie jar, One of the aldermen facing 55 years in prison, Lewis Reed, if the charges stick, and it sure seems like they would, 15 years in prison. Yeah, what he did was wrong. It was crooked. But I still am feeling some sadness about this. And maybe it's just sadness for myself, because I thought, you know, as the chairman of the Board of Aldermen, you know, we had a good guy in there. My only comfort in this whole thing is knowing that everybody is as shocked as I am. Somebody's going to have to come along at some point and start cracking Jeff Bezos and Amazon on all sorts of different levels, not the least of which is the tornado situation over in Illinois at the warehouse there, because it turns out now Amazon not cooperating with investigators on the tornado investigation. You got people dead out there from the tornado, and they're like, oh, yeah, we did tornado drills. The employees are like, we didn't do any tornado drills. Did you know where to go in the case of an emergency? No. And now, at least the allegation is that Amazon is no longer cooperating with the investigators who are trying to find out what happened and find out if any criminal charges need to be filed against Amazon. And also over in Illinois, I remember one of the things that contributed to the flap that I had with Ameren, Illinois, is that back in, what was it, I guess like 2008, 2007, somewhere in there, you know, all of a sudden they were like 415% rate increases that Ameren, Illinois were imposing on some businesses. It's like 415%? And trust me, I was not the only person talking on radio, TV, and in newspapers about what was going on over there. But they came after me because I think they thought that I was an easy target. It turned out I sort of was. Anyhow, but now $50 a month proposed increases for just normal, typical, average customers. All right? And I spent a lot of time in Metro East over the years. This goes all the way back to the first year I was in St. Louis, back in 1984. My first girlfriend was from Cahokia, Illinois. So I spent a lot of time over there and hanging around Belleville and stuff like that. I played a lot of baseball games in Collinsville and Belleville at the parks over there. Whitey Herzog's got a facility over there. We played our baseball games there just up until a couple of years ago. Right down the street from the mall. I can't remember the name of the park. I'd have to look it up, but beautiful field down there. And I would come, you know, after the game, you know, hit one of the drive-throughs there. And then also, for some reason, I would frequently get lost. I think it was trying to come back from that Whitey Herzog facility, which was way, way out somewhere. I couldn't even tell you where it was because I was always lost. You got a GPS and you're still lost. You're fucking lost. And, you know, after, you know, I'm not dissing the community, but it's just not a very wealthy area, as we all know. And $50 a month on top of what little income a lot of those people are able to pull over there is devastating. And trust me, I also have a lot of friends who are small business owners and, you know, restaurateurs and stuff like that. And they're having a hell of a time trying to, you know, just stay in business. The fish market over there on Olive, just east of 170, closing after years and years and years. That was one of the few places that you could go in St. Louis and get, you know, certain kinds of fish and stuff like that that they don't have at Schnucks and Dierbergs. You go to Bob's all the time. You know, so I totally understand it. But there's also people gouging you, and some of them are trying to get away with stuff. I mean, we know the gasoline situation. We know that that's gouging. Price of barrels of oil down, gasoline going up. We're going to be paying $5 to $6 for gasoline before this whole thing regulates. But anyhow, Wall Street Journal says 36% of restaurants have added service fees over the past year, and that may keep menu prices low, but it's sneakier because customers don't realize what they're paying until afterwards. They found that these extra charges listed as things like temporary inflation fee, supply chain surcharge, wellness fee, kitchen appreciation fee, Jesus, non-cash adjustment, and fuel surcharge. There's a lot of ways for businesses to spin these changes and charges and changes and charges. But the bottom line is that by making it a surcharge and not building it in menu prices, you're duping your own customers by burying it in the fine print. That's a good way to get a lot of people mad at you and stop coming to your restaurant. How bad are things? Somebody broke into a guy's apartment in Pennsylvania and stole only pierogies. They went into the freezer and took a 5-pound bag of Mrs. T's pierogies valued at $10. Police say their investigation is ongoing. And that's a quote. That's the pierogies that Jimmy Sturr advertises on the, what is it? It's the RFD channel, I think it might be. Sometimes when I am really, really bored, this is true, I will just scroll. I'm fascinated by all these cable stations that you just absolutely have to know almost nobody is watching. I mean, really, on a Sunday afternoon, how many people are at home watching MeTV, watching episodes of The Love Boat from 1977? Well, I have an answer to that question. Me. I'm fascinated by bad entertainment. And boy, oh boy, some of those Love Boat episodes, it's hard to believe that we, accepted that as entertainment. But it was the 70s. And the same thing goes for the Game Show Network. If I'm scrolling and I see Gene Rayburn with that long, skinny microphone, that's it. I'm stopped. And I watch the rest of the show from wherever I picked it up. Dumb Dora is so dumb. But I will say this. This is how good the $20,000 pyramid was. And again, that was another show that was created by Dick Clark. That's why he was a millionaire, billionaire. I don't know how much money he had when he died. By the way, he was a little guy. He was much shorter than people thought. First time I met him, I was like, holy shit, you're not Dick Clark. Dick Clark, I thought, was taller. But this is how good that show was. This was sometime last week. Nothing on TV because the holidays, you don't have your normal shows. I don't watch episodic television for the most part on network TV. I have sports on, I have news on, and then all of the late night TV talk shows. That's really all I watch. But they have that, brand new version of the pyramid. And it was Rosie O'Donnell and then some guy from one of those house rehab shows, where you watch and they tear the guts out of the house and rebuild it. I don't know. I think his name might have been Nate something. And I thought to myself, okay, here's some bad TV. Like I said, I've already identified. That's why I watch a lot of the televangelists, because I'm just fascinated by bad television and bad entertainment, bad acting, bad everything. I just sit there. I don't know what my fascination is with it, but I love it. Garbage TV. So I sit there and watch, and then I realize I've been watching the entire show. That's how good the pyramid is. It will suck you in. Doesn't even matter that it's not the original one. It doesn't matter that I had absolutely no interest in the two celebrities who were playing. I don't even like the host, Michael Strahan. I don't understand this guy's appeal at all. And then I'm sitting there watching it because the actual dynamics of the show, of the game, are fantastic. It was a brilliantly devised show, so good that the whole concept of the thing still holds up today when you're when you're watching something like this. I forgot how I started talking about this. I lost myself somewhere along the line here. We're talking about restaurants. We were talking, Mrs. T's pierogies. That's right. So Jimmy Sturr is the polka guy, and he's got a show that's on it's like 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's just a bunch of old people for the most part. And then there's people in their 30s and 40s out there too, which I don't get. And they're all doing polka dances, and they have these polka bands up there. And I defy you to tell me the difference between one polka from another. The beer barrel polka sounds exactly like the Damahuji polka. It's too bad John Candy died at such a young age, because who knows what the Schmengi brothers may have gone on to achieve musically. If you never saw that movie, it is one of the funniest things I have ever seen in my life. Eugene Levy from Schitt's Creek and the American Pie movies and SCTV and John Candy did this thing called The Last Polka. And if you can find it, you will laugh your ass off. It is so funny. On Christmas.
I'm Yash and I'm Stan.
And I still remember one scene where it was Christmas, and in the country they came from, the Christmas morning tradition was for the men to trade socks. So they would take their socks off, hand it to the guy next to him, and he would put the other guy's socks on. I'm telling you, I'm laying there dying. It was so funny. But Jimmy Sturr, who, by the way, is Irish, and one year is sort of a goof at the Grammys in New York, you know, because he gets nominated for Grammys every year. And one year they brought me on. It was like Fleetwood Mac 1 minute, and then Bryan Adams the next minute, and then a comedian like Bill Maher the next minute. We're interviewing all these people as they hop from table to table and come, they spend some time with us, and then they hop to Denver, and then they hop to Chicago and all that. And you have all these radio stations there, and it's like a carnival midway. And a star or a group, something like that, can hit like 20 radio stations in an hour and a half. And it's a great little deal for everybody. And one year they brought in Jimmy Sturr, which was fascinating because everybody wanted to interview him. Nobody turned him down. But it was weird because he came in full makeup and he wears that, well, I think they used to call it grease paint. It's the makeup that stage actors wear. I think they wear better stuff now, but back in the day, they had this stuff called grease paint. And if you, you know, performed in your high school musical or something like that when you were a kid, you probably remember this stuff. So he had that stuff all over his face, and it's radio, okay? But he, you know, it's like he's got an image. And so the grease paint stuff was all over the collar of his white shirt. You know, and it's hard because you realize that he probably understands you're interviewing him sort of as a joke. And that's got to be hard. That's got to be hard to know that you're showing up and you're just a punchline. But it's all these, you know, ladies from the old country who are still kicking at 99, you know, and they're out there dancing. And then it's time to sell some pierogies. And honest to God, they go, yeah, Mrs. T's pierogies. But as you know, if you're a longtime listener to the show or the podcast, every once in a while, Jimmy Sturr does pop up on this show. And you get a shout out for Stan the Man.
Hi, baseball fans. This is John Gordon, the voice of the Minnesota Twins. The lineup for the Polish All-Stars. First base, Ted Kluszewski. Second base, Bill Mazeroski. Shortstop, Tony Kubek. Third base, Whitey Karowski. Catcher, Stan Lapata. Outfielders, Carl Yastrzemski, Stan Musial, and Greg Luzinski. In the dugout, Moose Gowron, Andy Pafko, Walt Jopel, Ron Swoboda, Gene Hermansky, and Tom Pachorin. In the bullpen, Joe Niekro, Eddie Lopat, Ron Paranowski, Ray Narleski, Ray Sadecki. Coaching first base, Roy Matika. Coaching third base, Dick Trzuski. And on the mound for the Polish All-Stars, knuckleballer Phil Niekro.
The greatest day in baseball was the day I went to see the Polish All-Stars play the greatest game in history. The stands were filled with all the fans from across the USA. It was the greatest day when the Polish All-Stars played.
I don't know if I'm being honest with myself. It is bouncy, it is peppy, and I can understand why people get sucked into polka music. It's fun. It's like that scene in Groundhog Day. I think it's the beer barrel polka that's playing in the background when he shows up there to do his live shot. Oh, one more thing about St. Louis this weekend. And they are calling it the biggest weekend in the history of St. Louis auto racing. Got that NASCAR thing over there. Got that NASCAR thing over there. And I can't think of that without thinking of possibly the first time I noticed a young comedian about 20 years ago by the name of Brian Regan.
Did you ever watch those monster truck pulls on TV? My favorite part is not the race. I like when they interview the driver when the race is over. They always talk about their engine, like you know what the hell they're talking about, you know? Hey, what were you thinking during that last run, Earl? You know, it was going pretty good. About halfway through, the flap cold valve burner started smoking. The hydro pin springer spurting off the manifold drive. And if I didn't overflood the drive, got some of that last pine line, trying to unplate that hydro coil. And if I couldn't do that, I was going to have to shut her down. Man, what the hell are you talking about? Like you're following him at home, the hydro pin, the... Well, sure, you had to shut her down. What options did you have, Earl? None!
Oh, God. Like I said, I think that was the first time I noticed him. Now, of course, Brian Regan. one of the best comedians working for like the last 20 years. All right, speaking of comedians, I use the term loosely when it comes to Pete Davidson. For a long time, I didn't get him at all. And then I saw his movie, King of Staten Island, and then I got it because he's awfully, awfully good in that. And his writing got a little better, and his contributions on SNL got a little better, and his contributions to Kim Kardashian got significant. And if you're wondering what happened there, because most people still are, how could something like this happen? Pete Davidson showed up on television first couple of times, and people described him as looking ghoulish and freakish. And so what happens? Arguably one of the most attractive women in the world, Kim Kardashian, falls for the big, tall, skinny, ugly kid with the deep-set eyes. Well, she now says she never intended to get into a relationship with Pete Davidson. She was just down for a booty call after they did Saturday Night Live together, but she obviously fell for him. On the new episode, Kim says she felt a vibe when she kissed Pete Davidson during their Aladdin sketch on SNL. It made her think that maybe she needed to try something different. Unfortunately, Pete Davidson did not show up to her after party. So a few days later, she got his number from an SNL producer and she texted him. She says, quote, "I wasn't even thinking like, oh my God, I'm going to be in a relationship with him. I was just thinking, heard about this guy with the BDE, which stands for Big Dick Energy. And then there was a DTF, which means down to fornicate." You ever get the idea that there's an entire world going on out there that you and I know nothing about? Ended up falling for him, and the rest is history. LeBron James becomes the first active NBA player to hit billionaire status. The majority of his net worth isn't from the NBA. It's from his business investments, Spring Hill Company, Blaze Pizza, and real estate. In 1994, there was a movie out called Sleep With Me. Quentin Tarantino was an actor, and it was a little indie movie. I remember seeing this scene, though. He plays a guy at a party who explains why the original Top Gun movie is about repressed homosexuality, and it's going viral again because of Top Gun Maverick. An immersive Golden Girls pop-up restaurant is coming to L.A. next month. It'll have themed foods like Sophia's lasagna and Blanche's Georgia-style cookies. Tickets go on sale soon for $50. All right, on television, for those of you who are into this stuff, and I will never understand it, party at the palace to celebrate Queen Elizabeth's Platinum Jubilee, 70 years on the throne. Elton John, Diana Ross, Queen, and Adam Lambert, Rod Stewart, and Alicia Keys. Got the 2022 MTV Movie and TV Awards. Jack Black is going to get the award for comedic genius. Vanessa Hudgens is your host. Betty White's longtime home just sold for about $10 million. Michael Keaton's going to play Batman in the upcoming HBO Max Batgirl movie. Michael J. Fox can't take roles with a lot of lines anymore because he can't memorize them anymore. Robert Plant, Alison Krauss are bringing a new take on Zeppelin's Rock and Roll to their live show. I'll try to get a recording of that for you. 7 Year Itch, Marilyn Monroe. That was the famous subway scene that blew up her skirt back in 1955, 67 years ago today. And 52 years ago today, in 1970, Ray Davies of the Kinks flew from New York to London to change one word in the song Lola. Coca-Cola became Cherry Cola because the BBC did not allow commercial references in songs and they needed airplay. So he flies across the ocean to change one word. Big. Tom Hanks, released on this date 34 years ago today, 1988. Still one of the best movies ever made in terms of that particular genre. 21 years ago today, 2001, Tina Fey married Second City TV director Jeff Richmond. He opened her flower. You know, she was a 24-year-old virgin. 13 years ago today, if you're going to die, well, let's put it this way. You better die after this, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to stand the scrutiny and the ridicule. Actor David Carradine found dead in a hotel room, hanging by a rope in the closet. The accepted theory is that it wasn't a suicide. It was autoerotic asphyxiation gone wrong. Like I said, you get the idea. There's an entire world going out there we know nothing about. And Muhammad Ali checked out on this date back in 2016. He was 74. Birthdays today, Rafael Nadal, who has beaten Roger Federer 10 of the 14 times they've played in a Grand Slam match, 36. Anderson Cooper, 55. Suzy Quatro, Leather Tuscadero from Happy Days, 72 today. And I usually, you know, when I do the birthdays, I only do people who are alive usually. But in this particular case, we have tape on both of these people. First of all, it was Chuck Barris. Would have been his birthday. Today, he was born in 1929. He died a couple of years back. And I loved the Gong Show. I loved talking to this guy.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show, Graham.
The inimitable game show host and creator, Chuck Barris.
Backstage on the set of the Gong Show. What do you remember about what obviously had to have been like a circus atmosphere back there?
That's where most of the fun took place. We had an act, a unicyclist. He went through a flaming hoop. Backstage, I was supposed to be handed a small extinguisher to blow out some flames that were on the back of his jacket, but they handed me a wall extinguisher about 4 feet tall. So when the guy came off through the hoop, I blew him off the unicycle. I mean, those those were the moments, you know, that you can't forget.
I loved that guy. Loved that guy. And the other guy who checked out, well, geez, I don't remember what year that was, but I know he was born on this date in 1925. Jamie Lee Curtis's dad, otherwise known as Tony Curtis.
You were on a Flintstones cartoon.
Yes, the Flintstones. That was me.
Tell me about how they approached you. Mm. Why would you have agreed to do that at the absolute prime of your career?
I knew all those guys. We were all friends. That particular show was the funniest. These two guys carrying on. And they put them on the phone with me and said, we want to do one of our episodes with you. I said, okay. He said, what do you want to be called? I said, Tony Curtis. He said, you mind if we change it a little? I says, go ahead. A week later, I get a note. It's going to be Stony.
Stony Curtis.
And that was during a very big period of stoniness.
It was a very big period of stoniness. Wow. Birthdays tomorrow. Bar Raffelli used to play Kissy Face Huggy Bear with Leonardo DiCaprio, 37. Angelina Jolie, Bag of Bones, 47. Russell Brand, No Talent, Ass Clown, 47. Noah Wiley from ER, 51. Horatio Sanz, one of the funniest people I've ever watched on SNL, but he's got his tit in a ringer these days. They brought him up on some sort of sexual harassment charges. He's fighting that off. 53. Michelle Phillips, Mamas and Papas, 78. Bruce Dern, 86. And Dr. Ruth Westheimer, 94. Had her on the show many times. Sunday birthdays, Nick Kroll, comedian, 44. Mark Wahlberg, 51. Ron Livingston, only in two of the best movies ever made, Office Space and Swingers, 55 today. Jeff Garland from the Goldbergs and Curb, 60. Kenny G, 66. Susie Orman, financial advisor, 71. Bill Moyer is one of the last real deal American journalists, 88 today. And we're going to have an interesting week coming up. Well, first of all, the weekend, you got the NASCAR stuff and everything like that in the St. Louis area. But then you got the Cubs-Cardinals weekend continuing. Day game on Friday, day game on Saturday. Sunday night ESPN special. There is some rain in the forecast for Chicago on Sunday. Be aware of that. But I think the big story is next Thursday. Next Thursday, the January 6th committee spills its guts. Now, normally this would be on C-SPAN and CNN, MSNBC, Fox, all that sort of stuff during the day. This is going to be in prime time. I am shocked to learn this. This is not the way these things usually play out, and I'm still trying to figure out what this means, the fact that it's going to be in prime time, but I have goosebumps thinking about it because they are going to unload. I think this is going to be one of the most historic days in not only American television, but also in American politics. Just carve out some time for next Thursday night. Whether you are a believer or a non-believer, it doesn't matter. It was on this date in 1993. It was just a short time after I was, shall we say, released from the 50,000-watt clear channel voice of Del Mar Gardens, KMOX. At approximately 7:30 in the middle of, now keep in mind, I had just left the radio station a couple of days prior to this, and at about 7:30 at night on the two-way radio that Captain Roger Brand uses for his traffic reports, his traffic report was in fact interrupted by a voice that said, JC lives. And then it cut right back to Roger Brand. To this day, I don't know who did it. I don't know how they did it, but it happened. One of the most disgusting movies I have ever seen in my life. When I did the review, I said that I hope that the people who made this movie get the psychological treatment they so desperately require. The movie was called Con Air, and it was sewage. And on this date, 93, I like Sam Neill. Sam Neill was in a movie called The Dish. And without giving too much away, it is a movie about how Australia, a little hamlet on the coast of Australia, was instrumental in our being able to see live pictures transmitted from the moon back in July of 1969, the first American moon landing. But in this particular case, I was out there for Jurassic Park. On tomorrow's date, in 1970, I earned my letter. My letter. Oh, my God. It meant everything to me to letter in baseball at St. Lawrence High School. I loved it so much, I didn't even bother putting it on the jacket. I just said that, and then we lost it in a flood, believe it or not. On this date in 1988, the stars of L.A. Law, Jill Eikenberry and Michael Tucker, were at the Westport Playhouse shooting a Anheuser-Busch-sponsored television infomercial type thing about drinking and driving. Got a chance to work with them that night. And on Sunday's date in 1985, the Ferris Bueller's Day Off shots at Wrigley Field were done. Hey, batter, 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 swing, batter, 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 swing, batter, batter. Kellyanne Conway's new book is laying a major egg. It only sold 25,000 copies. Well, not according to her alternative sales figures. Yeah, but Kim Kardashian calls Pete Davidson the best human being she's ever met. But it's important to remember she spent all of her life around other Kardashians. And with that, that's it for the J.C. Corcoran Podcast. Friday, June 3rd, 2022, 158 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. We are here every weekday morning right about this time. You can binge on the weekend if you miss any of them because everything is archived. You may email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Exciting week coming up, as we said, a lot of things happening. And as the week progresses, I should be able to tell you much more about the debut of our new radio station with me, Katie Cruz, Radio Rich, and a bunch of other folks that are going to put on a radio station you're going to be so happy to listen to. So for now, just sit tight. The details are coming. Have a great weekend, everybody. In the meantime, we've eaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.